been murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, it is a Purple Friday preview. We're about halfway through the season, and the Ravens are heading down to Carolina to take on Cam Newton and the Panthers. Joining me, as always, to get us ready for this game on Sunday is my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing just fine this evening. How about yourself?
I think the game this Sunday should be a good one, but I'm a little worried, not going to lie. Marlon Humphrey did not practice Wednesday or Thursday. So that him being out was a bit of a surprise this past Sunday. You kind of saw what happened when he wasn't on the field. The team definitely missed him. All signs are pointing to him not playing on Sunday if he missed these two games of practice. So Cam Newton, you know, he's a great quarterback. He's a guy who can be very dynamic, throwing the ball, running the ball. What is it going to mean to this team to not have Marlon Humphrey on the field? Because all signs point to him not playing this Sunday. What's it going to mean to have him not on the field up against a quarterback like Cam Newton?
Well, it's going to mean that the defense has to be that much sharper, brother, because, our strong suit, and it was alluded to in the Tennessee game, where the reason why the Ravens had 11 sacks, not only because the Titans had to pass a lot, but because coverage was so good down the field, Mariota really didn't have any receivers open. They were blanketed, and I've seen some of the replays where that was true. You know, they lack, and now it's early in the week. We'll see what happens Friday, Saturday, leading up to Sunday morning, if they're going to be doubtful out, obviously, morning early. But right now, it's not looking good for the secondary. It's going to be a long day. I mean, again, Cam Newton provides that 1-2 punch that other players don't, especially in a pocket passer. Like Breeze, he beat us with his arm. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback, but he's that pocket passer. You know, we see Lamar doing these running plays. Well, we know what Cam Newton's all about, man. He's that dynamic running play, that, and he's the kind of quarterback that I hope Lamar Jackson becomes in the future. I know it's you know, right now, obviously, all the focus is on Flacco and the offense and the new weapons and that focus. But you were going to get a chance to see what it could truly mean. We've seen what Cam Newton can do right now. He's coming off of an offensive player of the week kind of performance. You know, and he led him all the way back, whether it was the Eagles faltering down the stretch. But Cam Newton, they were down 17 late in the second half, and 121-17. So they have a little bit of momentum. Obviously, the Ravens, don't at that point, other than getting that essentially game-tying score. But right now, looking at it, man, Cam Newton would have the huge advantage if our secondary is depleted. And I do not want to see that.
No, neither do I. That's definitely a scary thought, to have Cam Newton just kind of having free range of that field. Hopefully we don't see that. I thought it was kind of interesting. Eric Weddle, what did he call him? He called Cam Newton like a dinosaur or something this week, where he said, not that he's slow or anything like that. It's that quarterbacks like him are going extinct because he is so versatile. He can throw the ball. He can run it. I mean, he's definitely going to be a force to be reckoned with. He's definitely a quarterback. Yes, they faced up against Drew Brees last week, but like you said, Cam Newton is a different kind of quarterback, and I don't know if the Ravens defense has really faced a guy like him yet this year. Who is going to be like some of your MVPs to watch for on the defense this Sunday?
MVPs, I like to see Za'Darius Smith rise up again. Suggs is still having a solid year, so we already know what Suggs can do, but I really like to see Smith on the line really shine like he did against Tennessee, man. I really feel if they can get to the quarterback this Sunday, it's going to be a tough task because, like we keep alluding to, Cam Newton's very shifty back there, and if he feels the pressure, he might take off and get some big gains for the offense on that regard and against our defense. So, yeah, I definitely want to see Za'Darius Smith on the line. And in the secondary, you always want the bearded one, Eric Weddle, to really have a good game. But you know who really had a great monster game was C.J. Mosley. He had a even though he was overshadowed with the result of the game of loss, C.J. Mosley quietly was not really talked about much, and he had one of his best games overall. So I feel like, you know, if you break it down in tiers, I see Za'Darius Smith on the line, and then I feel like Mosley in the linebacking court, and then Weddle back there, who's the general calling the plays for the defense. That's how I kind of look at it, tier 1, 2, 3, who should have the big day.
You know, I mean, we're halfway through the season pretty much.
Yeah, we are, which is so depressing, dude. Stop reminding me. I know, week 8, I'm like, week 8, slow down, dude.
I know. I feel you.
Week 18 is a playoff, so.
That's right.
10 weeks.
That's right.
10 weeks and wild card weekend, slow down.
And what week was it, 16, got flexed, so now the Ravens are playing at night, December 22nd, I believe, against the Chargers?
Yes. For all those don't know already, and everybody's been pretty excited about it, there was an option for all those who don't remember. When the schedule came out, the game was supposed to be on a Sunday, but they said it could be flexed to a Saturday night game in L.A., and that is true. So the Ravens, obviously Christmas weekend, December 22nd, it's a Saturday night. They're playing in L.A. against the Chargers at 8:20. I think there's two games that Saturday leading up to the Christmas holiday. I think it's there's a game usually at 4 or 4:30, then the game at 8, then the rest of the games are played on Sundays. So the Ravens will have the night game. It's going to be great. For all those, I remember the last time they played on Saturday night, I had an employee Christmas party, and then I watched the game afterwards. It was fantastic, and they did the Cowboys closing out their old Texas Stadium. And remember that game where it was the runs? Yeah, that was the two long runs with McGahee and McLean, where you heard Deion Sanders, "You got to be kidding me," when he just took off. So I remember I think it's the last time the Ravens played a Saturday night, if I can pull that out of my memory bank. So Ravens have had too many. Oh, no. I think they played against the Colts. Didn't they play against the Colts last year on a Saturday? I believe so. So I think this is like the second or third Saturday game for the Ravens. But yes, flexed out of Sunday. So at least we have a flex game this late. And it could be proved huge, because right now, with the Chargers winning on Sunday, Ravens losing, the Chargers hold a 5-2 record. Obviously, they're winning back in the West for the Chiefs at 6-1 currently this week. And they're one game ahead of the Ravens in the whole picture of the wild card and all that. So if the Ravens and Chargers keep pace for themselves at this point juncture, it could be a huge game with playoff implications that at that point. But we already know how the Chargers do in December. They fall off the map.
That's right, yeah. Halfway through the season, like I said, you know whose name we really haven't brought up at all this year? And, I mean, maybe it's a good thing because, you know, if he's doing his job, you're not really noticing him. But Brandon Williams, he's had a pretty quiet season so far.
He has, and especially with getting paid a couple years back. And last year he kind of caught on fire. But this year, you're right, he hasn't really talked about much. But you know, and me and you know for a fact, if he wasn't in the game, his name would be called a lot because he'd be missed. And you'd be like, "Where's big old Brandon Williams? Where's Brandon Williams? We're getting eat up because of Brandon Williams is not there." So, but it shows you how much of the role players on this defense and how deep this defensive unit is, still being tops in the league, if they're not tops, they're 1-2 punch right there. They should be second, but I feel like they're number one overall defense at this point, given their statistical ranks. But, it's a love hate. I mean, I think it's a good thing that Brandon Williams' name is not called. Means that he could be quietly doing his job, but it's a good thing too as well, because we have depth. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, but that is a good point. You haven't really heard his name much.
And the reason I bring him up is because I do think he's going to have to be like on top of his game. He's going to have to be an MVP this game, because, you know, how many times we have to say it about Cam Newton, just the fact that he can kind of do everything. I think Brandon Williams is going to have to be on his toes and really figure out how to get to Cam Newton. And if he is running, how to stop him. Cam Newton actually, he was listed on the injury report on Wednesday as limited because of a soreness in his right shoulder. He had a rough game this past Sunday. He came back, what, in the fourth quarter. I mean, a lot of play towards the end.
Hey, it was a hard test coming back on that Super Bowl champs, man.
That's right, I mean, yeah.
He had to shoulder the load. don't quit my day job. But, yeah, I mean, I don't read too much into it. You see it all the time, man. But that limited, I expect him. And even Rivera, head coach of the Panthers, actually came out and said he will be a go against the Ravens. So the head coach putting it to rest, but obviously it's always at the mercy of any team doctors or any final reports. But limited, I can see why. But I don't see him holding out this one unless it was a major, major injury.
Right. Do you see the Ravens maybe targeting that shoulder or forcing him to throw early? Because
not without any flags.
Right, right, yeah. But I'm kind of thinking like maybe their game plan going in is forcing him to throw that ball early in the game so that shoulder soreness kind of affects him, you know, for the long haul. So maybe he'll be running later on in the game, maybe focusing more on throwing at the beginning. I don't know, but I kind of feel as if, you know, your star QB isn't at 100%, the defense is going to take advantage of that.
Yeah, man, I see your point, too. I see where you're going with that. All jokes aside, I really feel like that if any ailment for any quarterback, if you know it's the knee, shoulder, ribs, you go after him. And go after him, of course, like I said jokingly, but also tongue-in-cheek, you got to go with I'm smart. You know, if you want to, you know, not only go after him physically, like, oh, sack him or hurt the shoulder, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the more, like you were saying, is, you know, make him throw a little bit more instead of running, because if his shoulder's hurting, make that a testament. But because he's a 1-2 punch and dangerous with his feet, it's going to be really tough to keep him one-dimensional with the arm. So it's a good advantage. Good advantage is, again, changing sports here. How many times we see it, UFC fights? You know, when a fighter's hurt, they go after that weak zone. Oh, his knees, he has a bum knee, or, you know, you attack it. You know, and I know WWE is WWE, but you hear it all the time and see it all the time in the shows is somebody's hurting, they go after that target zone and they don't let up. So it's, you know, you see it in any sports entertainment, whether it's football or real sports or MMA or anything. Any opponent that wants to win something, and there's a winner and loser, clear cut, I feel like you want to exploit weaknesses, and that's where any sport has scouting reports and this and that. But if you see an injury, by all means, go after him. If you know alignment's hurt and a blitzer sees that, go after him or double team him and cause him to, you know, use that against, you know, use it to your advantage and their disadvantage and exploit that. So I hear it how many times you see a player get hurt in a game, come back, and then it's, oh, they're gimpy, you know, go after them. And then, you know, it's just it either prove hurting their team worse than not playing at all. So you see it all the time. So yeah, I would say I wouldn't be surprised, to choose better words, I wouldn't be surprised if the Ravens do that. And you know, if he's any limited in any way and show signs of slowing down, to really hopefully they scheme around that.
Yeah, and like you said, you brought up WWE. I do want to take a moment here you know, everybody knows that listens to this show that we're big wrestling fans. Roman Reigns came out this past Monday. He's vacated the Universal Championship. This isn't a storyline. This isn't, you know, anything like that. This is real life. Roman Reigns was diagnosed with leukemia. He battled that 11 years ago. It came back, and he's taking time off to deal with that illness. And, you know, Josh and I are huge wrestling fans. We just want to say, you know, our thoughts and prayers and well wishes and everything are with Roman Reigns and his family. And we both hope that he'll be back in the ring whenever he feels better. So we'll hopefully Roman and the WWE keeps everybody up to date on how he's doing. But thoughts and prayers go out to Roman Reigns.
Absolutely. And just, you know, for the record, you're right. It wasn't scripted. It's something very serious. He's had all his life, which I didn't really know, and no one really knew, because if anybody is a fan of this kind of thing, ever see on the faces of the commentators to the crowd, this wasn't coming at all.
Yeah, nobody knew. If you watch the promo, that crowd is booing him like they have for so long. And
then
he says, "I have leukemia," that crowd goes silent.
And even Seth Rollins was crying when he came out on stage. You know, anybody who watches the shows and it hasn't even caught up yet. Sorry, but spoiled a couple seconds here. But bro, take a sidestep from the Ravens talk. How about that that heel turn? That was ugly. I didn't know what that. And you know what my buddy said too? It was emotions because the WWE played on that because of what Roman's news was and then what they did there. You talk about it. Talk about emotional turn, man. I did not see that coming at this point in juncture. That was a show.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always wanted to see Dean Ambrose as a heel. He has not been a heel, a full-on, like, by himself heel in the WWE before. I've seen him do some stuff on the indies, and he's always been very entertaining. So I'm excited to see where they go with this. Obviously, Roman Reigns is the guy that they built the company around for the last, like, 5 years. So, he has to absolutely take care of himself. But, you know, one of the things I'm thinking about as well is what are they going to do storyline-wise for all these different guys, because he was the headliner. So we'll see what happens down the road. But best.
You know who's going to be the bad guys, though?
Who's that?
Ravens going on the road always at this point in the season. But you're always the bad guys when you're road. It's a given. But the Ravens got to be spoilers in spoiling a home game for the Panthers. And I do have fond memories. The last time I was down there 8 years ago, that was one of my very first road games for the Ravens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was a great game, great time with some friends of mine, met some new friends there, and it was one for the ages. I was part of a Ray Lewis dance contest, finished second, should have won the thing, but I lost to a kid, but hey, had to give it to him. And it was a great game. Not only did Ray Lewis get a pick, but Ed Reed, so both Ray Lewis and Ed Reed got a pick, and they trounced the Panthers at that point. And that was, of course, 8 years ago. But different circumstances now, back 8 years in Charlotte. And I do know some people are going to the game. I, for one, am not going to the game this Sunday, but I will be glued to the television and everybody else. But this is another road game that the Ravens could really steal here. Now, this game, I really feel like it's a toss-up at this point. I mean, the Panthers, they boast a good percentage on third down. Now, third down defense is 32%, so they're fourth in the NFL, so that's up there. So you remember how the Browns road game, they couldn't really get out of the gate on third down as far as third down conversions with the Ravens offense. And then against the Saints, it was a different story. And the Titans, because then the Titans, they were converting third downs left and right. And then the Saints, they were doing that too. They were moving the ball well when they got it. And obviously, they jumped out to a 17-7 lead. But that's going to be the focus, is third down. Not only with the Ravens on the field and the Panthers defense, but vice versa. Can the Ravens sustain? Because remember how aggressive Sean Payton was calling the plays and Drew Brees' offense. They went forward on fourth down. So we stopped them on third down. You felt good. But then it's like, oh, no. They're lining up, and then it kept the defense on the field and kept them winded and all that. And I always find that funny because they're like, well, Josh, well, the offense is on the same time as the defense. How can the defense just be weak and winded, not the offense? Well, when you're playing defense, let me know. But, when you're trying to catch a win and go after a quarterback, I never played in the NFL, but I would think that, it more boasts on the defense because it's more – I feel like it's just more. And it's more to it than that, and they're more physical. It's going to be the key. My keys to the game is going to be third down conversions on both sides of the ball in this matchup.
Yeah, the Ravens have done really well in third downs. They've been able to convert 46% of their third downs this season, which ranks fifth in the NFL. But it's going to be a big challenge against the Panthers because, like you said, on their third down defense, they're fourth in the league. What does it mean for this Ravens team for the running game to still not be there? Because, with, like you said, third down defense ranked fourth for the Panthers, without the running game there, Joe and the rest of the offense is going to be pretty one-dimensional.
Yeah, and it's been very frustrating. How many times we have to leave that the running game just needs to get going? And, you know, it's been rumored, will the Ravens make a trade for a running back? You know, do they need to revamp that? And it's also the line. So a lot of moving parts here. But obviously, you know, the edge is to the Panthers in this game because they have Christian McCaffrey, who's a dynamic back for them. Mm-hmm. And then they have Cam Newton, who can also run the ball. They have their own veteran Lamar Jackson, per se, in that regard as well, what he can provide. So the running game definitely edge to the Panthers. And if the Ravens really want to do, you know, don't want to get in a throwing contest, they need to get back to what works is utilize a running game. I mean, yeah, there's two options. You can run and pass the ball. You know, you want to do balance attack. You don't want Joe Flacco throwing the ball 50 times and running it. You know, you want Alex Collins or whoever the combination is running it, you know, only 10 or 15 times. Then you wonder why we lose by 10 or 15. Well, you know, when you throw it, there's a lot more chances for incomplete passes, batted balls, as we've seen. Is the trouble still going through the Saints game? Interceptions could be high because the higher percentage you throw it. And as we've seen with Mariota against the Ravens defense, the more times you throw it, the more opportunities you had to be sacked. There's a lot can go there. So I feel like the Ravens, I feel like they need to get back to basics, call some draw plays, and sometimes I think Marty needs to go back and really look at that. Not questioning it. Obviously, I'm not an offensive coordinator, but just me looking at the schemes, there could have been some times where if you really think you're going to go to a pass-heavy attack and catch the defense off guard, mix in some draws, mix in some screen passes because they're going to keep blitzing. And if you can get the running back past that first tier into the second level, there's going to get the 5, 7, 9, 10 yards and more down the field. But when it's this, you know, I feel like Alex Collins is running in slow motion. I don't know if you see that, man, but I feel like when he gets the ball, he's not hitting the hole with a burst of speed. It's like he's dancing around back there trying to make defenders miss, and defenders are quick, man. This is the NFL. And I feel like when you hit the hole slow and you start out the gate slow, it's going to be slow runnings. And that's what's going on. I'm seeing at least.
Yeah, but I think he's also waiting for the hole to be there. I don't know if the offensive line is making that hole for him. But, I mean, we'll see what happens. This is going to be a rough one on Sunday. I kind of feel as if the Ravens are going up against their mirror image.
You think so?
I think so. You know, I think these two teams are very well matched. And I think that, you know, each of them have the same kind of strong points. They have the Panthers, pronouns, pal. The Panthers, they have their own Terrell Suggs in Luke Kuechly. And with our offensive line so depleted right now, how are we going to make sure that Joe is protected on this game on Sunday? Because, the running game might stink, but we also got to give Joe time to see plays develop if he's going to throw the ball. And the last couple years, Joe has not been given that time.
No, he hasn't. And I mean, the sacks have been up there, but the hurries, and that's another documented thing that we really rarely talk about is the hurries, because when he's off his spot, Joe Flacco, as we all know, man, he's a rhythm quarterback. You get him in the rhythm with his receivers, it's like clockwork. He goes up and down the field, does his job. But when the line number, if it's a combination of the line not blocking long enough or, you know, whatever it may be, there's a lot of things going on a play. Line blocking, coverages down the field, route running. But when it's all not working smoothly, Joe Flacco's off his spot. I feel like even though he's got some ability, I still dub Joe as a pocket passer, and he's never had those legs. Yeah, he can run for a first down, but with his inept to slide half the time, or most times not, I should say, I just feel like you can't – you're right. Their mirror image is at some point. They have a solid defense. They have playmakers on offense. They can get the job done. But like I said, I feel like the edge right there goes to Cam Newton for quarterback play because – Cam's got that mobility. Now, in a few years, when Lamar Jackson's going up against these kind of guys, they're going to be evenly matched because, as we've seen on Sunday with Lamar's rushing touchdown, Joe's not going to do that. You know, Joe is good if you do a bootleg and you call a design run, and we've seen it before with Joe Flacco on the goal line, but it's a design play, a bootleg, where you keep him out of harm's way. You know, Lamar and Cam and all these kind of quarterbacks, they like to get right into it, man. This is right in the teeth of the defense. I'm going to run it right at you, you know, whether I'm a quarterback or not. So I feel like, you know, if the Ravens can really come together with the line issues that we have with Alex Lewis still hurt, you know, the line played surprisingly well overall as a cohesive unit. Did allow a few pressures, did allow that one sack, but then you have to give them credit too because there was the same line that was on the field when Gio marched down the field to take him down all the way to virtually tie the game at the end of the game. So I'm not really too concerned, because it wasn't like Flacco got sacked 8 to 10, 11 times himself. It was only one that I can remember at the game, and it was a big sack, but it was a big pressure and hurry where they just came after him. He had no time. But not that I can recall. Again, you watching on TV, me in the stands, different vantage points, but I didn't really see Joe hurried as much as I would think he probably was.
Yeah, I mean, this past game, he wasn't that hurried. I'm more worried about what's coming up, because...
Okay. So you're more worried about... Okay, Carolina. Yeah, and I mean, with the defense that they have on that side of the field, the line's going to be tested pretty good. So you're right. I think that's going to be another focal point, is really keeping Flacco's pocket clean, him upright, not scrambling around. Because I feel like he's a horrible quarterback on the run and when he's scrambling. And I, you know, Ben Roethlisberger makes a living of that. You see Aaron Rodgers do it, scrambling back. And the only time I've seen Joe scramble was a few memorable plays of mine in Ravens history. And you got to play to his strengths, and he's a pocket passer, rhythm quarterback. So it's going to be a long day at the office if they get him off the spot.
So anything else you want to talk about before we end this show? Maybe give out our predictions, or is there any other concerns or highlights you want to put on this game?
Yeah, I think that this is a pretty straightforward game. I mean, there's no real rivalry here. It's an NFC South matchup. We just played the Saints. This one's on the road, but I feel like the Ravens have been a good road game thus far, even though they're 2-2, at this point in juncture of the season. That last Browns game on the road, they've been holding their own. Usually when the Ravens go on the road, it's, oh my gosh, shut your eyes, because it's pretty pitiful. But the Ravens have been fairly well. I mean, they had the last road game other than the Cleveland loss. They went to Tennessee, and then, like we alluded to before, in previewing the Saints game and all that, is they were 2-1 on the road on a 3-game road trip. Most teams probably wouldn't do that unless they're elite. And I'm not dubbing the Ravens elite, but I'm just saying, for the record, they were a couple of plays away even Cleveland from going 3-0 on the road. So I almost thought they could win that game. In my mind, it's a W anyway, even though it's a loss on stat sheet, it's a loss in real life. But because they played so poorly, it's like really all you had to do was just instead of throwing an interception on the goal line, punch it in, or they had a blocked field goal, I think, in that game. So again, with the special teams woes this year, it's just kind of interesting, because you want Tucker to bounce back too, and that's another X factor too I want to touch on, is even though Tucker's got a few blocks this year and a missed field goal, or not missed field goal, missed extra point there, it's just, you got to believe in with keeping the faith in Crabtree and Tuck. When these guys have down games, like I definitely covered the last show, is the team rallies around everybody and supports everybody, and that's what shows a good close family. And I feel like the Ravens are going to bounce back. I actually feel the Ravens can get this one. I don't think this is a flat-out loss. I mean, it's a coin toss, because, like you said, they're so evenly matched with the edge with Cam Newton and his running ability. But I feel like the Ravens, now after that they were so close, I feel like they can carry that momentum against the Saints and do all the good things, and then take down the road. And I think the Ravens get a quality road win, because coming up, we have three straight home games, two in a row against the division. And then the back end, we have the lowly Oakland Raiders, who right now they could have the whole team traded by the time we play them in 3-4 weeks. So at this point, like I said, if the Ravens can take care of business on the road, hey, who knows what they can do at home. If they go 2-1 at home here in this home stretch, or win all three, Ravens win on the road, they're 5-3. Let's say you split it with the division or whatever it may be, even if you do that, just saying right there, because they have their bye week thrown in that mix. So it could be an interesting month of football here, but this is where it gets dicey, because we're going into that second/third quarter of the season where the Ravens are already 7 games in. This is the last game of that stretch in the second quarter of the season. So the Ravens can boast a 5-3 record after 8 games. I'll be very well pleased. But if they get to 500 here and lose this game, margin for error, I would think, is no more than 1 or 2 games at that. They can't. So they would have to almost run the game, but at 6-2 the rest of the way, to really have a shot at 10 wins and maybe a playoff spot. So I say this is not a must win, but it's an important win if that, and it's a very important road game to really show. Because I say it's that crossroads game, because like I just see on the horizon, if they go 4-4 versus 5-3, that means that's your second loss in a row against the same division, NFC South. You got 3 in a row home, 2 against the division. It's going to be tough, man, and especially with two of the divisional opponents playing each other, Browns and Steelers. The Bengals have a really tasty matchup against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So there's a chance where the Steelers and Bengals could win. I mean, hey, the Browns could still steal this game. Who knows? But they're right there. And this division's so close right now. And it's weird saying that the Ravens almost can't afford to lose this game. I feel like even if they do, and whatever combination of the AFC North wins and loses, the Ravens really got to take it to the Steelers in 2 weeks, because get past the kitty cats and out of Carolina, and we know what's coming on the horizon. Steelers week's pending, and I can't wait to get after it. And with that, Brandon, if you don't have anything else to add, I'm going to say a hearty quote the Raven, nevermore.
I will leave you with this.
Yes, sir.
You're saying this doesn't feel like a must win. I kind of have to disagree with you there. If the Ravens did beat the Cleveland Browns earlier this year, I would say this is not a must win. But I kind of feel as if this one really could define their season. Like I said earlier, these guys are kind of evenly matched. They're going to be a hard team to beat, and hopefully the Ravens are up for it. Hopefully they can do it. I personally don't know if they can. I kind of feel as if this is going to be a loss. And I think partially it is due to the offense being so one-dimensional. Joe is going to have to throw the ball. The running game isn't there. And, you know, you see Cam Newton, who can kind of do a little bit of everything. Hopefully our defense can figure that out, and they can make him one-dimensional. But right now our offense is very one-dimensional, and I don't know if, you know, Joe's arm is the only thing that can really help beat the Carolina Panthers. So I kind of think if they don't win this one, that might be the downturn of the season. Hopefully I'm wrong. I want to be wrong, but I don't know. This one for some reason to me feels like it's going to be a pretty big game.
Yeah, and you bring up very valid points, and I don't want to sound like I'm discrediting this game, like, well, it's the Panthers on the road, this isn't huge. I mean, yeah, I agree with you there, it's huge, and I'm glad we agreed to disagree. You know, we can't agree on everything, right?
Exactly.
So, but, you know, I just don't think, like, I felt like there was, earlier this year, there was those must wins, like, oh, we had to get this game, and I felt like the Broncos could have been that game, you know, or it could have been the Steelers game, which we got. You set the tone for the AFC North and ensure that we're not scared. Now, there's a lot of ups and downs there, especially with, you know, going on early. And now I just don't see that this could be a must win. Yeah, I guess it's an important win. I know there was, you know, a couple of times where, you know, we definitely covered a loss and we're like, okay, doesn't that seem a must win? And, you know, you just don't want to go in that losing streak. You know, you want to end it there, you know, losing one, you kind of want to win one to offset that, but you don't want to go back and forth, because obviously you're playing 500 ball if you're trading off wins and losses either every other week. But the Ravens' two-game winning streak was stopped against the Saints, and they could have extended to go in overtime to really see what that could have done. So, and they could have been 5-2 with three straight wins. So, you know, the Ravens, I just, again, it's, they have the identity, but you just don't know what you might get. And that's the problem, is I still think they'll carry it on the road here. They have, it is a tough game. This is not a cakewalk. I mean, the Panthers are the Panthers. They're legit. They're good. You know, and any team in the NFL is good. I mean, there are teams in shambles, but they're still going to bring their best game at that time for the next 3 hours. They're playing their opponent, and they're not just going to lay down. No team will really lay down. So, but the Ravens are going to get a fight out of the Panthers, and by all means, it is not an easy game. But if they can really make a statement here, I'm not saying everybody else will put on notice. I'm not saying, I told you, even if they go out and win the game 30-0 and have, you know, 14 sacks and intercept Cam three times and have an interception return and we get a dominant win. Again, this is such a week-to-week league where, like, the Ravens dominated so well on the road, and you just never know with – and you can break down each matchup. These are NFL players. A small percentage of football players, these are the elite. They're professionals, you know. And you hear the jokes back when the Cleveland Browns were bad. Well, the Cleveland Browns could probably line up with one of the best college teams in the country, and they would probably lose. No, I don't think so, because how many times, especially Lamar Jackson himself said it this year, a rookie comes up, and they go, wow, the NFL, man, they're fast. It's a fast game. You know, it's faster than college. You go from college to pros, it's a jump. You know, I'm not an NFL player, but I hear it all the time from these players. And I've been close to the action on the sidelines at training camp. I've been closed down low when I was at the Broncos game. I really see it. I hear the pads clashing. I see how quick the game is, and I'm like, then I see it on their level, and I'm like, how does Joe? And it's funny, as Joe Flacco told you, I'm like, how does a shorter quarterback see over this line and see open receivers? Like, it's a tough game. You're trying to throw and look at receivers in a 2 to 5 second window max, and you have players coming at you. There's a lot going on. I mean, you know, so not to go on that rambling tangent, but again, you think it's a must win. I say it's, yeah, if obviously if you lose, the margin for error is that much smaller and you can't make no more mistakes if that maybe two more wins all year. But if they win, it can really be a tone setter for a 3 home game stand coming up here. So guess we'll find out Sunday after the dust settles, shall we?
That's right. We will definitely find out. And you know what? I hope the Ravens come out. I hope that they, you know, look like they did against Buffalo. So, but I'm excited. I think this is going to be a really good game. I really think it's going to be.
I think it's going to be a fun one to watch.
Yeah, like just because they so are evenly. I don't think it's going to be very high scoring. No. I think it's going to be. I'm going to say it's going to be 14-10.
Higher. Oh, wow. Defensive struggle. I'm going 27-20.
Okay.
Yeah. In favor of the Ravens on this one. I feel like this is going to be a real win. But I just really hope that they can carry that momentum. I feel like even though they lost the game against the Saints, they had the momentum. They had the ball last, technically, really, and they put it in the end zone. So I feel like they can carry that. And both teams are riding on that momentum. Mm-hmm. You know, even though the Ravens lost, you know, the Panthers won their game. They came all the way back. The Ravens essentially did come all the way back after letting up the 10-point lead evaporate to a 7-point deficit, and they pulled it within one without an extra point kick. We're talking overtime, and who knows, maybe the Ravens win, maybe they tie, maybe they lose. We don't know, and the world will never know because we never got to that extra period in lieu of a kick that just went crazy. And it's, I still can't believe it to this day. But, hey, it's water under the bridge. Can't change it. It's a loss on the board. The Ravens got to clean it up. And hopefully there's no more swirling winds in Charlotte this Sunday. And hopefully they can kick them straight.
Yeah, the Nor'easter should be hitting Baltimore on tomorrow into Saturday. So we shouldn't have to worry about that in Carolina. Might just be a little damp.
The game here, we're going to play in wind and rain, and he'll throw 5 touchdowns.
Joe will play great. This is his favorite type of weather, I think. So,
yes, sir.
So tell us what you think. Go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Tell us, is this a must win? Or is this it's okay to not win this one? Does this one define the season?
Why don't we put a poll out on the – can we put a poll out on the Facebook page?
We should be able to do that. I think you can do that.
Let's do a poll. Let's see what the results are. Hey, let the people speak. I want to hear the results of this one.
There you go. I like it. So
this is a must-win in Week 8 on the road, 4-3 record.
All right, I like it. We'll do that. So look for that poll. It'll probably be up by the time you hear this. Facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Don't forget, you can also follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people follow you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, guys, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the call and you should too. So that is pretty much it for this Purple Friday preview. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. Josh, take us out and get ready for the Panthers.
I love it, man. I love how you end that. It's one of my favorite shows series of all time.
And did you know that they are actually remaking the movie and the director of this past weekend's blockbuster hit Halloween, David Gordon Green, he's going to be the director of the Friday Night Lights remake.
I did not know that. I didn't know it was coming out, so that's awesome news, man.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm very excited to hear that. Well, clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. Brandon says the Ravens can't lose for real on Sunday. Let's see what happens. But the Ravens really have to get after this one, and I feel like they got to get out ahead, start quick, start fast, start ahead. I'd rather them playing the lead than from behind, but we all know confidently if we are playing from behind 7-10 points, Flacco and the offense, they can get it done. We've seen it. So let's see really what they hone in on and let the game come to them and not push, not press. And I think we're going to have a recipe for a road win. How about it, everybody? Those making a trip to Charlotte represent the Purple Pride very well. I know a lot of people that go into this one. Charlotte's a great city. I was there 8 years ago for this road trip. It's always been one of my key favorites to go. And sitting this one out, but we'll be rooting hard here in the home city, the 410, and wherever you are, Ravens Nation worldwide, we're going to get them. Let's take it to these kitty cats. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.